God sent his Son. They called him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds a future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. How sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy he gives. That's sweeter still, the calm assurance this child can face on certain days. Because he lives, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds a future, and life is worth the living just because he lives.
Matthew 19 in the New Testament, we're going to read verse 26. Matthew 19, and we're going to read verse 26. Matthew 19, 26. But Jesus looked at them and said to them, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." This time I'll turn over the pulpit to Rob LaBarre.
In my almost, actually a little over 50 years as a church member, I've never heard a sermon on Manasseh. And as I get to talk to you about Manasseh, you'll see why. When the pastor asked me if I would choose a Bible character, and Manasseh sprang to my mind, I don't know why. I've never preached on Manasseh myself either. And I've got to say something now that I feel impressed that there's somebody in the congregation that needs to hear this. I've never said that before either. But as I've done this study on Manasseh, I am convinced that his story is more needed today than any other time. And maybe you'll see why as we go through. So let's think for a minute. This is working, but we're not advancing. Okay. Imagine a president. He's against Seventh-day Adventist. He claims they're holding back the true union of all Christianity. He imprisons your family while you escape. You hear they've been tortured and killed. He's taken all that's dear from you, dear to you. You're running for your life and escape to a country that accepts you. Could that happen? It's happened before. Oh, okay. Could you forgive him? I think of all the Jews that went through the Holocaust, and I know I've read stories about how difficult it would be for someone that experienced that to forgive. Would it be difficult for you? Interestingly enough, I believe we could all say, we forgive him. But in our hearts, where does forgiveness come from? Doesn't it come from your heart? Should you forgive him? Two texts. Whenever you stand praying, forgive. If you have what? If you have anything, if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father who is in heaven will also forgive you your transgressions. And Matthew 7, 1 through 3, do not judge so that you will not be judged. For in the way you judge, what? In the way you judged, you will be judged. And by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. Is forgiveness important? Is it more important than we think usually? I believe so. What if you heard that this president that killed your family and tortured them and barely you escaped with your life, what if you figured out that he was going to heaven too? You wonder how, maybe? Maybe at the end of the day you'll see some things. This is my father when he was a young man. He's holding his baritone horn, and sitting beside him on the bench is his favorite music teacher. They were very close. In fact, they were so close, he kept in touch with him for many years. Now, this gentleman here, he had a wife, family, he had children. After my dad graduated from, he was a music teacher at Southern Missionary College in Tennessee. In his early, late 30s, early 40s, he left his wife for a younger woman. He left the church. This gentleman left the church and didn't go to church for several years, but then he started going back, and he was rebaptized. My dad was talking to his wife, and as he was talking to her, my dad said something like, "Well, you know, he could be in heaven someday." And you know what she said? "If he goes to heaven, I don't want to be there." And my dad thought, "He probably won't be then." Have you ever felt that way? About anyone? About anything? If he's going to heaven, I don't want to be there. Which brings up Manasseh. Manasseh was 12 years old when he became king, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. He did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to the abominations of the nations whom the Lord dispossessed before the sons of Israel. Okay, he did evil in the sight of the Lord. A lot of times, we might be reading our Bibles, we stop there. Or we read on and we read quickly. I'm going to take you through this verse by verse about King Manasseh and the evil he did in the sight of the Lord. First thing he did, he rebuilt the high places which Hezekiah his father had broken down. He also erected altars for Baal. Pretty bad? The Hebrew word for high places is Bama. This word refers to a pagan religious worship area. These high places were usually located on natural heights, such as hills or mountains. The pagan worshipers felt they wanted to get closer to their God. Good thing? Well, maybe it's the right God. This is 2 Chronicles chapter 33. This is verse 3. If you want to follow in your Bibles, you could open there. That's 2 Chronicles chapter 33. Verse 3. And it may be good to follow along in your Bible, not just on the screen. Okay. What you see on the screen is quoted from the New American Standard Translation. It says in verse 3, he made a sherem. Now, you might just have read over that if you're reading your Bible, but note, Asherah was the Canaanite goddess of fertility and worship through ritual prostitution. Sound worse? Asherah, like not the well-documented goddess of the Northwest Semitic pantheon, we remember that according to the Bible itself, in the 9th century BCE, Asherah was officially worshipped in Israel. Her cult was maintained by Jezebel, who supposedly imported it from her native Phoenician homeland. She was known as the goddess of the sea. That's why that picture shows Asherah coming out of the sea. Another one, this is from the New World Encyclopedia. As a Judeo-Christian tradition, Asherah is considered a false Canaanite deity and a major source of temptation to the Israelites. In the book of Kings, the prophet Elijah challenged 400 prophets of Asherah to the same time that he battled 450 prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. Other biblical references to Asherah refer to a type of sacred pillar or tree that was erected next to Canaanite or Israel altars in many places. These trees or groves were associated with sacred prostitution of the Canaanite fertility cult. And this image you see here on the side is a representation of that image, the Asherah associated. So Manasseh, not only did he erect the altars of Baal in the high places, but he made Asherah. Do you understand how terrible this would have been in Israel? But he worshipped all the hosts of heaven and served them. Do people do that today? We call that astrology. And astrology was condemned in the Bible, and it was condemned in Israel, but yet this king, Manasseh, worshipped all the hosts of heaven and served them. Pretty bad? But we go on. Verse 4. He built altars in the house of the Lord, which the Lord has said, my name shall be in Jerusalem forever. For he built altars for all the host of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. Okay, not only did he worship the host of heaven, he built altars for them in the sanctuary, in the holy and most holy place of the sanctuary. Pretty bad? He made his sons pass through the fire in the valley of Ben-Hinnom. In other words, he did human sacrifice of his own sons to the god Molech. And this is a picture from the internet that represented that. Pretty bad. He practiced witchcraft. Witchcraft? In other words, witches did very well in his country. He used divination. Today, people use maybe the Ouija board or cards to try to define the future. He used divination. He practiced sorcery. Now, I figured a lot of us might not be exactly sure what sorcery is, but sorcery from World English Dictionary, sorcery, the art, practices, or spells of magic, especially black magic, by which it is sought to harness occult forces or evil spirits in order to produce paternal effects on the world. Sorcery is using power to accomplish things. Yeah. Of course, we know where that power comes from, the power of the devil. He dealt with mediums and spiritists. One version of the Bible implied that he had his own personal spirit that he walked with. In other words, he attempted to speak with those that were past, gone, that had died, and mediums and spiritists he dealt with. Pretty bad? Oh, but it gets worse. Kings, 2 Kings 21, 7, 8, then he set the carved image of Asherah that the Lord had made in the house which the Lord had said to David and to his son Solomon, in this house and in Jerusalem which I have chosen from all the tribes of Israel, I will put my name forever, and I will not make the feet of Israel wander anymore from the land which I gave their fathers, if only they would observe to do according to all that I have commanded them, and according to all the law that my servant Moses commanded them. He made the temple of God not just a place of worship of the hosts of heaven. He made the temple of God into a place of religious prostitution. The holy and the most holy place. Pretty bad. It gets worse. First, let's talk about Isaiah's death. You know the prophet Isaiah? Though there is no definite evidence of Isaiah's death, it is believed that he died in the reign of the king Manasseh. According to the Jewish Talmud, Isaiah had been forced to hiding in a cedar tree. The tree was cut in half, sawing Isaiah in half as well. Wow. He, one of God's major prophets, one of the authors of one of the most beautiful books in the Bible, legend has it that Manasseh killed him by having the tree that he was hiding in sawed in half. Pretty bad? It gets worse. 2 Kings 21:15. Moreover, Manasseh shed very much innocent blood until he had filled Jerusalem from one end to another, besides his sin, which he made Judah sin in doing evil in the sight of the Lord. Manasseh went after the true believers of God. He filled Jerusalem with blood from one end to the other. Putting that all together, can you think of a worse character in Bible history? I can't. As you study who he was and what he did and how he opposed God in every step, 2 Chronicles 33:9. Thus Manasseh misled Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to do more evil than the nations whom the Lord destroyed before the sons of Israel. He did more evil than was there the nations that were destroyed so Israel could have its homeland. That was Manasseh. Could we compare him to Hitler? Could we? I think, as you study about Manasseh, he was worse than Hitler. Because, as far as we know, Hitler wasn't a Satanist. Hitler was trying to do what he thought was best for the world. He was deluded, and he was awful. But Manasseh, I would compare him to Hitler, but worse. Could Manasseh be saved? Could he? You mean someone that terrible and despicable could find salvation? Could you forgive him? If it was your family that he had killed in spreading blood from one end of a city to another, from one end of a country to another, could you forgive him? I'm going to challenge you with something today. The time is coming when this is going to be repeated or even worse. Do you know that? It's coming, folks. I don't know if we're going to live to see it or whether we won't, but I know it's coming. And according to Bible prophecy, it's coming very soon. Now, is your heart ready to forgive? Could you see yourself tacked up to a cross? Or bent over and stretched out till every muscle in your body was hurting? As someone says, give up God, give up Christ. Quit being a Seventh-day Adventist. Quit worshiping on the Sabbath. Quit doing whatever. Can you imagine yourself being stretched and have love in your heart for the person doing it? Is that possible? Everyone sitting in this room, naturally, it is not possible. But with God in your heart, something different happens. Of course, you know that, don't you? 2 Chronicles 33:10. The Lord spoke to Manasseh and his people, but they paid no attention. Therefore the Lord brought the commanders of the army of the kings of Assyria against him, and they captured Manasseh with hooks and bound him with bronze chains, and they took him to Babylon. Okay, step number one. He was taken, he was captured. 2 Chronicles 33:13. When he prayed to him, he was moved. This is God speaking. God speaking about God. When he prayed to him, capital, that is God, he was moved by his entreaty and heard his supplication and brought him again to Jerusalem, to his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew what? Manasseh knew that the Lord was God. Wow. This most despicable creature that we don't even like preaching about the things that he did. We don't even like thinking about the things that he did. This man, this king, knew that the Lord was God. 2 Chronicles 33:15-17. Speaking of Manasseh, after he was brought back, he also removed the foreign gods and the idol from the house of the Lord, as well as all the altars which he had built on the mountains of the house of the Lord and in Jerusalem, and threw them outside the city. He set up the altar of the Lord and sacrificed peace offerings and thank offerings on it. And he ordered Judah to serve the Lord God of Israel. He ordered them. I was wrong. I did terrible things. This is not right. Nevertheless, the people still sacrificed in the high places, although only to the Lord their God. Now the rest of the acts of Manasseh, even his prayer to his God and the words of the seers who spoke to him in the name of the Lord God of Israel, behold, they are among the records of the kings of Israel. His prayer also and how God was entreated by him and all his sin, his unfaithfulness and the sites on which he built the high places and erected the Asherim and the carved images before he humbled himself. Before he what? Humbled himself. Behold, they are written in the records of Hosea. So Manasseh slept with his fathers, and they buried him in his own house. And Amnon, his son, became king in his place. Amnon, you can read, was also an evil king who did not follow his father's conversion. So, what does this have to do with you and me? I see two lessons from studying this. Do you see them? What's the lesson about forgiveness? Is there anything that God won't forgive? There's one thing, which we're not preaching about today, that obviously Manasseh did not commit. That's blasphemy against the Spirit. But all things God will forgive. Could you forgive all things? I see some of you shaking your head. No, praise the Lord. Okay, second question. There's some things you couldn't forgive, but with God in your heart, is there anything you can't forgive? Okay, with God in your heart, there's nothing you can't forgive from your heart because God is in you. If there's someone sitting in this room today that has things in your life, things that you cannot forgive, it's time for us to get down on our knees and ask God to change that and put his forgiveness in our hearts. Because you can't do it on your own. You what? You cannot do it on your own. Is your hand up? Go ahead. He will not forgive the devil. Oh, wow. You know, it's interesting. I've been thinking about that for the last couple years. I didn't plan on saying anything about this, but I've tried to speak out things that maybe they could hear, which I'm sure does nothing, because their hearts are completely closed to God. I believe if there is an angel that was lost, that right now went before the presence of God, he'd be allowed into his presence. And if this angel said, kill me, I can't live this way anymore, destroy me, there is a chance that that angel that did that would be killed the way Jesus was killed and would be resurrected. Because all of us, the Bible says, have to die in him, don't we? Now, I don't know if that's possible, but I know the God that I serve. And I know his forgiveness is for everyone. But there are those that refuse to accept that forgiveness where there is no forgiveness. Revelation 7, 13 through 14. What does this mean to you and me? Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, those who are clothed in the white robes, who are they? And where have they come from? And he said to me, my Lord, you know. And he said to me, these are the ones who have come out of what? And they washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Is there tribulation coming upon this world? Are we going to have to go through it? Do we need to have Christ's forgiveness in our hearts? One of these days, I see myself being tortured for what I believe. And I see great pain. And I see a majority of the people in the world not understanding why I will not change my thoughts on God. And as I'm being tortured, I want his forgiveness in my heart. And I want his love in my heart. Because I know if it's not there, I'm not going in the right direction. Do you know that? If I'm not in intense pain, but looking at this person doing it and feeling love in my heart, I'm not like Christ. Revelation 12, 17. So the dragon was enraged with the woman and went off to make war with the rest of her children who keep the commandments of God and hold the testimony of Jesus. The devil is going to be making more and more war against us. Do you know that? Revelation 17, 6. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with blood drunk and with the blood of the witnesses of Jesus. Daniel 12, 1. We do believe that this time that is spoken of in Daniel 12 is coming shortly. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince who standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be what? There shall be what? Such as what? Such as there never was, since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, everyone who is found, who shall be found written in the book. Do we believe there's a time of trouble coming? Do we have to be ready for it? Matthew, Jesus talks about 12 virgins. Six of them had oil. Six of them didn't. And when the cry went forth that he's coming, half of them had the Spirit and half of them didn't. Lessons from Manasseh. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or his height or his stature, because I've rejected him. For God sees not as man sees, for man looks on the outward appearance, but what? God looks at the heart. Think of Manasseh. Think of the horrible things that he did. God looks where? At what he did or at his heart? Second lesson today, beside the forgiveness we need, is that God will accept anyone sitting here, no matter what you've done. If there's someone sitting here today thinking, oh, God can't accept me because of what I am or what I've done. If God can accept Manasseh, can he accept you? Can you see that? We need to kneel down and ask God to change our hearts and to put love where there's hatred and to love even the Manassehs of the world and put his love in our hearts. We need that more than ever before in history. Do you believe that? Our text for today, Matthew 12:31a, the first part. Therefore, I say to you what? Read it. Any sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven, my people. Let's pray. Our Father which art in heaven, where we have in our hearts a lack of forgiveness, place it there because we don't have it naturally. If there are those we're looking at and we hate, if there are those that we cannot forgive, Father, we know we can do it through you. Please put your forgiveness in our hearts. We need it desperately at this time. And Father, we know that no one in this room has sinned to the point where you will not accept them if they turn to you. Father, please soften our hearts. Help us to accept your forgiveness and accept your love and to walk with you always. And we pray these things in your name. Amen.